Hi there everyone, and a special hi to those who are members of the Church on Main Evening community. This has been specially recorded for you, but everyone else, maybe other members of Church on Main, part of the morning community who's watching this video, so lovely to have you watching. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me, and any guests or friends out there who've stumbled upon this video on YouTube, just great to have you dialed in. This is the seventh week of our lockdown, and for those of you who are part of our evening service at Church on Main, who are unable to, for whatever reason, dial onto our live Zoom Sunday evening sermons. These are being recorded for you to watch in your home and to keep up to track, up to date with what we're going through as a community. And so once again, just a warm greeting from our home into your home. Lauren and I send our love to you as we continue into this lockdown period. We've just transitioned from level 5 into level 4. And we have a few more things to enjoy. This morning we went for a walk as a family around our suburb, and we had the opportunity to smile, even though our faces were covered by masks, to smile and wave and greet a number of our neighbors, as many of us in our neighborhood made it onto the streets between 6 and 9 to just enjoy being outside. Of course, we continue to see many people get infected by the virus. And here in South Africa, I believe we've just had another 13 fatalities as a result of the coronavirus, very sadly. Tonight is a great moment because it's the end of our first ever series that's been completed online. In 7 weeks of being online and not meeting at the mall, we have been able to complete a 3-week series, which we started 2 weeks ago, and tonight is the end of that series. And if you've been with us for the last 2 weeks, you'll know that we've been speaking about our upward relationship with God, our inward relationship to each other as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And tonight we're going to focus on our outward relationship to those around us, those in need, those who are not a part of God's family, not followers of Jesus, our love and our service to them. And we've been looking at chapter 29 of the book of Jeremiah to found ourselves and to base ourselves in this ministry. And so we saw how God encouraged his people in the midst of exile that they could still find a shalom, still find a presence of him in Babylon, which is an amazing, amazing thing that God said to his people, that even though they are captive in Babylon, that they can still find his presence and still have an intimate relationship with him in Babylon, even though they were far away from the temple and far away from their promised land that they had received many generations ago. God was now encouraging them that even though they were in a foreign land, they could continue to have an intimate and real relationship with him. We also then saw last week how God encouraged them to focus on their own culture as a community. In chapter 29, verses 5 and 6, we read of how God encourages them to build houses, to plant vineyards, to marry, and to increase. And we saw how this was an encouragement for them to continue to foster their culture as God's people, a kingdom culture, an alternate culture to the normal cultures of the world, which is based along transactional relationships where I get something out of what you can give me. And it's based on a worldly system where I get what I need from you. And of course, that's completely contrary to how God designed us to live. And so the very heart of God's people, when he drew them out of Egypt and gave them the law, which is known as the law of Moses. And when he gave Moses the law and his people the law from Mount Sinai, God's heart was that they would be a countercultural people. And if you really want to understand the real kind of just behind the law of God that was given to Moses, you just need to compare it to the way that other ancient cultures were living. And you will see that the heart of God's ways for his people was that they would care for the needy, was that they would love each other with a sacrificial love, and that ultimately this culture would be founded upon a love for him. Because only when we truly know God can we experience the type of prosperity that he's designed us to enjoy here on earth. And so God sends, and that's what it is, God sends. He says, I have sent you into exile. God sends his people into exile But he encourages them to not decrease, but to increase and to continue to foster their kingdom culture in the midst of Babylon. In other words, God is saying, as you get into Babylon, do not let Babylon get into you. Continue to foster this culture that I have called you to be an alternate people. Be in Babylon and live in Babylon, but allow yourself to continue to foster the culture that I've called you to make and to be. And then incredibly in verse 7, after God has encouraged the people to continue to foster their own kingdom culture, we have a really incredible kind of instruction given by God through Jeremiah to the people. And this is now God's instruction to his people to care for and to love and to seek the prosperity of those around them. Those who are from other nations who maybe have also been captured, but also towards those who have captured them. And so let's read now verse 7 of chapter 29 of Jeremiah together. It says, also seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This truly is a remarkable instruction. It's an unprecedented instruction. And I know that word's been used a lot. We are really living in unprecedented times. Here I am recording a message for you watching in your home. But that's not my word for this passage. In fact, one of the commentaries that I read speaking about this very verse said that this is an unprecedented and unique concept in the ancient world. In other words, this concept where someone would work towards and pray for the prosperity of those that had captured them was a completely unique and unprecedented way of living. And it reminds us of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus encourages his disciples to love those who are enemies towards them. Love your enemies. And then he says, pray for those who persecute you. And that's exactly what God, through the prophet Jeremiah here, is calling his people to do, to pray for those who've persecuted them, to pray for those who've captured them. If we are called to love our enemies, then that means that we're called to love everyone around us. If we're called to love and to pray for those who have hurt us the most, then that means that we are called to love and to pray for absolutely everybody around us. We are to serve them and to love them and to seek their prosperity. This is so amazing because even though God sends his people into exile, and even though he calls them to remain true to their culture and not to assimilate into a Babylonian way of living, they are still to very much engage with the Babylonians and the other ancient people around them, the other cultures around them. In other words, they're not supposed to now be a secluded people who stick to themselves, who only look after their needs and become a protective, kind of reclusive type of people, just making sure that they don't lose their culture. It's this incredible balance that God commands his people to have, to go into Babylon, to remain true to who they are, and yet at the same time embrace those around them, befriend, to seek the prosperity of those around you and to pray for them. It would mean that you would befriend them, you would develop relationships with them, you would love them, you would share your life with them, you would share what you have with them. In many ways, this is speaking about a missional way of living, a way that looks to serve those around you. It's been well said that the church is one of the few organizations that exists largely for the benefit of its non-members. And even though last week we were talking a lot about the inn, remember, the inn was all about fostering culture. It wasn't about protecting our needs. It was about serving each other. It was about creating an alternate way of living so that others could see what life is really supposed to be like and themselves come in and join us. And so living well and serving each other well in is actually highly linked to seeking the good and the benefit of those around us. And so I think it's very true to say that the church exists largely and for a significant purpose to benefit and to bless those that are not yet members of the church. And this is what we talk about when we talk about missional living. A way of laying down your needs and your benefits and sacrificing your pleasures and your nice things for the sake of others. Missional living is about seeking the welfare and the benefit of those around you. It's about seeking the benefit of your neighbor or your work colleague. Have you prayed for your work colleague during this lockdown period? Have you reached out to them, shared something with them, shared an encouraging message with them, sought to serve them and to show God's love for them in this time? Remember, we started this series Up In and Out from Jeremiah chapter 29 because we said in this lockdown period, we have unique opportunities to connect with God, to serve each other, and to reach out to those around us. Maybe you're not working, maybe you're studying at UCT or one of the other institutions in our city. Have you reached out to those in your class yet and found out how they're doing? Maybe you could donate some data to those in your class that don't have access to the same amount of data that you have. Maybe you could show love to those around you that are not actually a part of God's family, but you are just there serving them, loving them. Maybe you can do some conference calls with those in your class that are struggling and help explain concepts that are very easy to you without being belittling, of course. There are many, many ways in which we can think of the needs of others and seek their prosperity. You see, those two words, seek, talks about action, and prayer talks about intercession. We can use our actions to serve and to seek the prosperity of those around us, and we can pray for those around us, to pray for their prosperity, to pray for their blessing, to pray for them to receive favor from God and favor from those around them. This is such a beautiful way of living, missional living. I have a friend, Caleb, who is actually a missionary, a typical missionary, what we would call a missionary, and what many of us would think of as a missionary, in the rural village of Uganda. He grew up as a missionary in Kenya himself, as his parents were missionaries there. And I know many of us think of missionaries as someone who go to preach the lost gospel and to see the lost saved. Caleb is a medical missionary. He himself is a civil engineer, and he helps build a hospital and build the hospitals in the area that he lives. His brother is a doctor, and along with a number of other doctors, they serve those in that area. They've provided incredible, essential health, physical health and health services to those in the area in need. But it's come at a huge cost. They have sacrificed so much of their own comforts in order to do it. They absolutely love it. And that's what I love about living in the purposes of God, is that you love it. But make no mistake, it is still a sacrifice. You see, missional living requires a sacrifice to our comforts, to our preferences, to our time, to our money, to our resources, to serve those around us. And I want to encourage you that this verse, to seek the welfare of the city, is an encouragement for us to live missionally, to live with those around us in mind. I want to encourage you to think of, there's so many ways we could do this. I want to encourage you in two ways in this season, just to help prompt you. And there are many other ways. You could find other ways to seek the prosperity of those around you. I want to just give you two. Number one, I want to encourage you to seek for and to yearn to see those who are not yet saved come to an understanding of Jesus Christ and his love for them, to see the lost saved. We really are in a time when people are needy. And when people are needy, they're open to the embrace of God. They're open to the message of God. And this is an opportunity for us to just be aware of those in our life, maybe those we work with, maybe those who live on the same street as us, maybe those in our family that we're currently in lockdown with, maybe those that are living next door to us, our neighbors, possibly our digs mates, friends in our lives who are not yet connected to the life of Jesus, who are still far away from receiving his gift of eternal life. This is an opportunity for us to be aware of them, for us to be praying for them, for us to be asking God for opportunities to share God's message with them, and then just creating those opportunities and making those opportunities to share God's love with them. maybe find some encouraging message. It doesn't have to be one of mine. I'm sure there are many others who explain God's love way better than me. Find an encouraging message somewhere online and send them a video. Tell them you're praying for them. Ask them if they want to talk about God and the meaning of life. Begin a journey with them, helping them to see that God desperately loves them. Let's have a heart to see the lost saved. Let's seek the prosperity of those around us. And then number two, a very clear fruit of the gospel, if we've truly understood and been embraced by the gospel, is that we love and serve those in need around us, the poor and the needy. And this doesn't have to be just the poor and the needy in our community. Of course, the New Testament and the Old Testament speak about the injunctions to make sure that those who are needy in our community are cared for. But we also have the opportunity to love those who are in need around us. And even if it just begins with a holy dissatisfaction for the status quo of our world at the moment, where so many of our fellow South Africans live in poverty, live in such desperate need, and the COVID-19 implications are affecting them enormously. Friends, this is an opportunity for us to love those who are in desperate need. You see, this is the gospel, that God so loved the world that He gave. He gave to those who were not able to help themselves. He gave to those who were in desperate need. You see, helping the poor doesn't ever get you saved. But when you are saved and when you've received the love of God, you realize how much you've been loved, and you overflow with that love towards those around you. And it really is a very clear kind of outworking of the gospel, both in the Old and the New Testament, that the followers of God have a clear love and a passion to serve the most needy and the most vulnerable in society. And when you look through the pages of history, it's beautiful just to see how the church really has made a social impact in many, many, many lives. On Church of Man's webpage or link to this video, I'll put a post of various ways in which you can help. Interestingly, also, we've seen an increase in the number of people who are facing emotional and mental well-being problems. Once again, this is an opportunity for us to reach out to those who are in need. A significant spike has come in terms of those who are phoning and calling lines for help, helplines. And there are opportunities for us to just be aware of those in our life who might be facing emotional and mental problems as a result of the lockdown. Friends, this is an opportunity for us to be aware of everyone in our life and to seek their prosperity. I want to conclude with the point that Jeremiah makes in this letter to the exiles when he says, "When you seek their prosperity, you will find your prosperity." Such an amazing thing. And this shows us how in God's design, we're all connected. You see, when we seek the prosperity of someone else, let's say, for example, someone else's salvation, when we seek to help someone come to an understanding of how much God loves them and why Jesus died for them and why they can receive the gift of eternal life, they receive prosperity. They receive something beautiful. But at the same time, we do too. We receive a new brother and sister in Christ. We receive someone who's got a brand new story of redemption that is able to minister to us. We receive someone with new gifts and new talents and new treasures. We receive someone into our body who blesses us. And it's just such an incredible blessing to be able to give. Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when we give to those who are needy and those who are vulnerable, we receive gifts from them that we might never have had before. Our prosperity is linked to their prosperity. This is the ecosystem that God has designed the world to function in, that we bless each other. And in blessing each other, we ourselves are blessed. In terms of helping the needy and the poor, we just have to look at a story like Sia Khaleesi, who recently has become a national icon lifting the World Cup trophy last year. Sia, as many of us know and have heard his story a number of times, grew up in a really impoverished environment. He was given an opportunity to study, a bursary to study, at a really respectable school in Port Elizabeth, Grey PE. This opportunity allowed him to develop his rugby skills and to develop as a person, And ultimately, we have received an incredible leader that many of us look to and aspire to and admire. You see, when someone gave to Seer in that need, we all got something back. We were blessed in Seer's blessing. Seer was blessed when he received that scholarship. No doubt, Seer was blessed when he lifted that World Cup trophy. But make no mistake, we were blessed with him. You see, in seeking the prosperity of the city, in seeking the prosperity of those around us, we find our own prosperity. We find our own shalom. And that's how God's designed our world to be and our world to function. It's so awesome to have been able to minister to you from my home into your home and to complete this 3-week series. Please do join us next week. In all likelihood, we're going to begin a new series preaching through and studying the book of Acts together. If that does materialize between now and next week, I'm really looking forward to that. Either way, I will be back on a screen next week Sunday for you to watch and to journey with us in a new series as part of our Church on Main evening community. So much love to each and every one of you. As someone said to me this week, stay safe and stay sane. I think many of us are staying safe, but do your best to stay sane as well. Cheers, guys, and hope to see you soon.